On this Monday edition of The Zone Daily, it is Predators playoff time in Nashville, and we're going to give you all the info you need to know about Game 1 tonight between the Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm also going to tell you about some of the special programming we've got ready for you on The Zone to get you ready for face-off tonight at 7 o'clock between the Preds and the Canes. Plus, my visit with Charles Davis, NFL analyst for CBS, from over the weekend. He's going to tell you about the three rookie quarterbacks on the Titans 2021 schedule, plus a little bit on Caleb Farley as well, who he likes quite a bit. It's Monday, May the 17th, and it's time once again for The Zone Daily.
Yesterday's headlines, tonight's topics, and one big story you need to know. This is The Zone Daily Podcast with Will Bowling.
7 o'clock tonight in PNC Arena, Predators and Hurricanes gets the series started off. Going to be a big one for a Nashville team that's got to go on the road and try to get one out of two in order to come back home into a building where they've won 11 of their last 14 inside Bridgestone Arena to finish off this season. UC Saros is obviously the headline of this team. Going to be interesting to see if he's recognized as a finalist for the Vezina Trophy. Career-high 21 games that he won this season. But between March 23rd to April 13th, he won 9 of 10 starts. He allowed 2 or fewer goals in 20 of his last 26 starts. And he also led goaltenders in even-strength save percentage at .942. Now, I'm on the record that one of my concerns about this Nashville Predators team is that Nashville's now going to overpay UC Saros and give him 5-6 years based on this past season, and then all of a sudden UC Saros reverts back to the mean and becomes the same guy who was largely responsible for why the Nashville Predators were knocked out by the Arizona Coyotes in 2020. But for right now, this is a defining moment in UC Saros' young career, because Pekka Rinne took the Predators to the Stanley Cup final almost by himself on his back in 2017. Yes, there were other spectacular performances. Kevin Fiala, before he got hurt, was excellent. Ryan Johansson, before he got hurt, he was excellent as well. There was a lot of good in 2017, but what it takes to get to a Stanley Cup final or just to make a run and win a playoff series, you got to have a hot goaltender. The Nashville Predators have that. Now, can they surround him with the proper defense and the proper special teams to compliment what UC Saros has done this season and turn it into a playoff series win? I'm still of the opinion that even though Nashville went from the brink to somehow finding a way into the Stanley Cup playoffs, this season is not a success unless Nashville at least gets out of the first round. Because as you continue to live in this purgatory of making the playoffs and not advancing, I don't really care that you've made the postseason 7 straight times. It's almost doing less for you down the road in the future that you're not just selling everybody, being bad enough to at least get a top 5 pick that you can rebuild around. This team and this core needs to show me that it can get past the first round. It can make a run similar to what it did with another hot goaltender in 2017. Otherwise, the clock is ticking on this core staying together, and let's be honest, on David Poile still sticking around as the Predators' general manager. You love what they've done this year. Now it's time to show me that you can meet the expectations this team should be living up to. So over the weekend, I had the chance to catch up with Vol for Life with CBS NFL analyst Charles Davis talking about, first of all, Tennessee baseball, which was excellent over the weekend, despite dropping 2 out of 3 to Arkansas. But talking about this Titans schedule, we did that a lot last week on The Zone Daily as the Titans 21 schedule became official. But Charles Davis, he's one of the best NFL draft analysts around, so I wanted to pick his brain about picks number 1, 2, and 3, not just because they're the top 3 picks, because the Tennessee Titans are going to see all 3 of them in 2021. This was his scouting report on Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, plus a little bit extra on Caleb Farley as well. So I want to get into a little bit of this new Titan schedule that came out earlier this week. Not every year that you get even the top 3 picks being quarterbacks. It's even more rare that you get to play all of those top 3 picks at quarterback. So I want to talk to you about Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance, 3 guys on the Titans schedule, and obviously four games with Trevor Lawrence playing this Titans team twice. But want to start in week four for the Titans, a trip to the New York Jets, a new look offense. Going to see old friend Corey Davis up there in the Big Apple for the first time wearing the green. What does Zach Wilson bring to the table for that Jets team? And how quickly do you see him getting integrated as the QB1 of the Big Apple?
Yeah, I think he was the QB1 from the time we saw that last toss at his pro day, Will.
Yeah.
I mean, when he moved left and threw right and hit someone in stride about 50 yards downfield, that just cemented everything. But the truth of the matter is, as soon as they called his name in Cleveland, he was handed the playbook and truly is going to be QB1. They didn't want to play any games with it. They didn't want to mess around with it. All that pre-talk about, well, Sam Darnold will be here. They let Sam go to Carolina. It's the right move. And then they tried to build around him in the draft, as you saw, trading back in at number 14 to get Elijah Vera Tucker, the guard tackle from USC. I think he moved right in at left guard next to Mekhi Becton, last year's number one pick out of Louisville, getting Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss to run in the slot. Jameson Crowder may already be there, but this kid potentially more explosive, more dynamic in the slot, and that's what they're looking for, to increase play with Corey Davis out wide. And they increase their defense too. I think they got Sheldon Rankins from New Orleans. They ended up getting Carl Lawson from Cincinnati. It's going to be a better Jets team. He will get integrated right away. And I think with Michael LaFleur, Matt LaFleur's brother, who's coming from San Francisco to run the offense, it fits perfectly what he does. Those movement plays, those movement throws and skills that he can develop. But let's not underestimate one thing. Every time we talk about these young quarterbacks, let me rephrase. 90% of the time we talk about these quarterbacks, we talk about these off-platform throws and these incredible things. When you win in the NFL, those are part of what you do. But the base of what you do is still winning from hitting that back foot and throwing from the pocket. Zach Wilson can do that as well.
So the week after the Titans will make that trip to New York, they'll go down to Jacksonville, get their first look at Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, maybe even Tim Tebow. Might get their first look at him in week five as well, if he's on the roster at that point, which I still can't believe I'm saying in May of 2021. But how does Urban Meyer fit Trevor Lawrence into what he does on offense? I know we don't know a ton about what an NFL offense looks like under Urban Meyer, but where does Trevor Lawrence fit in that equation for him in year one?
Well, remember, he's got Darrell Bevell and Brian Schottenheimer running that offense. And both of them have great experience in the NFL with quarterbacks who fit a lot of what Trevor Lawrence does. Trevor Lawrence is a plus size Russell Wilson, being able to throw from the pocket, being able to maneuver and make plays with his legs, extend plays, and then of course make every throw. That's what Trevor Lawrence brings to the table. Plus a single-minded focus on being the best he can be in football. Him going to Jacksonville, it didn't matter if he went to New York, because, when a quarterback goes to New York, like Zach Wilson, everybody's like, oh God, what about off field? And how's he going to handle the Big Apple? How's this Mormon kid coming from? Well, when you're the quarterback at BYU, you're like the quarterback at Notre Dame,
right,
for people of Mormon faith. So he's dealt with pressure. I think he'll be fine. For Trevor Lawrence, it didn't matter where he went. He's going to be the guy that finds a place to live with his wife now, goes to work each and every day, grinds, and then they'll take a vacation when it's all said and done. It's going to be single-minded, locked in, the whole deal. He's going to fit fine with whatever they decide to do. Remember, if you watch Urban Meyer's offenses at Ohio State, there's a lot of pro concepts to them, but they did not mind utilizing quarterback movement, did they? Didn't mind using quarterback run game. I don't expect as much of that with Trevor. He's not Tim Tebow that way. He's not JT Barrett. He's not Braxton Miller, guys that he utilized. But he still can hurt you with his legs. Expect him to pick up at least one first down per game, hot-footing it on third and long. But the big thing is going to be the arm, the mind. And by the way, that's a better team than you would expect at 1-15. You look at their roster, you look at their offense, you look at the offensive line, the people they've added, they've got a chance to be much better right away. And this is a league, Will, 15 of the last 17 years, 16 of the last 18, somewhere in that neighborhood, at least one division has had a team go from worst the year before to first the next year. Jacksonville would be a team I'd keep a wary eye on.
The other quarterback that I think has walked into one of the best situations for a team drafting at number three that at least I can remember is Trey Lance with the San Francisco 49ers. Titans will get them in week 16, Thursday night football in primetime, which will be really cool for this city to get two home primetime games, of course. But Trey Lance has got to be really shaking a lot of hands and patting a lot of people on the back saying, thank you. Thank you for giving me George Kittle as a rookie in this league. If that team gets healthy, you know, Nick Bosa coming back, of course, off of that torn ACL in week two in New York last season. The NFC West to me is fascinating. Where does San Francisco and Trey Lance fit into that equation for you?
They fit very well. And I think you posed it really well, Will, when you talk about him him being selected into an incredible situation. Cause you know, for a long time, people were selling the Mac Jones thing. And I could see where if Kyle Shanahan had fallen in love with Mac Jones, he would have picked him. But I remember right before the draft, I had to do my last mock draft. And you know, by now what I think of mock drafts, you do them. They're part of what you have to do, but you know, I've said it a million times. When you submit a mock draft, all you're doing is allowing yourself to be mocked. Right. Right? I mean, that's just how it goes. Right. And I talked to a very good friend, and I don't spend a lot of time going around the league like, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? I go off of my own instinct, my own feel, and let the chips fall where they are. But I was talking with a scouting friend, and he just said to me, he said, just ask yourself one question. With all that San Francisco traded, all the capital they gave up, does Mac Jones not look like what they already have as opposed to a Trey Lance?
Sure.
That's what you have to ask yourself. And if you're going to buy that or not. And that cinched it for me. And I wrote in Trey Lance at number three because Mac Jones is an excellent quarterback. Is he appreciably different than Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't think so. Athletically, Trey Lance is. Okay. Now, will he be as good? He's going to have to prove that. And truthfully, you might be looking at week 16. If San Francisco's playing well, Trey Lance won't be hitting the field. It'll still be Jimmy Garoppolo's team and San Francisco pushing for playoffs, the Super Bowl, et cetera. Because for a team that finished last year in their division, it's an awfully talented bunch, as you pointed out. So I don't expect to, I really think that San Francisco's having a good season. It's not the year for Lance. And that's why he's in a good spot, because we all said it. Didn't only played one game in 2020. Had only played the one season before, one double A. This is ideal for him to get a year of experience before he hits the field. And Will, you have to understand, I am so anti that. If you draft a quarterback early, I am so over coaches telling me I'm going to redshirt this kid and this right. and that, because you don't. You know, by game three or four, he's playing. Mm-hmm. And I always go back and say, you wasted 3 or 4 weeks of development. You should have just given him the ball from day one, as Cincinnati did with Joe Burrow, as the Jets are going to do with Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville's getting the ball right away. I was like, why are you wasting time playing games? With Lance, a little bit different. And this is where I would back off a bit. But if he does get a chance to play, you're right. The weapons are big. And then they drafted a little bit as well to try and increase that. But you get back a full Debo Samuel and turn him loose. Kittle, as you noted, Raheem Mostert is your lead back, and they'll have some competition there. A big, strong, physical offensive line. Now Alex Mack at the pivot at center. I like the San Francisco team a lot, but, boy, what a division they're in. You talk about the best division in football. It's the NFC West right now.
Charles, real quick on the way out, Caleb Farley, the first-round pick for the Titans, if he's healthy, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL. Here's DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, what a way to get started, right?
Right.
But you know, he's a kid. I don't think he's going to back down from it. You remember he opted out last year. If you followed me during the draft process, he was my number one corner, and then the back issue cropped up. I knew he would drop, but I still think potentially he's the best cornerback in the draft. Length, speed, smarts, toughness, willingness to come up against the run, and that dreaded word, upside. Plenty of upside left because he's a wide receiver who turned over to being a corner. He's got a lot left to learn, and he'll learn pretty quickly with Mike Vrabel and crew.
So there you go. Charles Davis calling Caleb Farley his number one corner in the 2021 draft, and rookie minicamp got underway over the past weekend. Didn't see Caleb Farley, didn't see Elijah Molden, but we're going to be talking more about some of the guys who did impress, including an undrafted rookie that appears to be the new favorite of the Nashville media, and possibly so far of Mike Vrabel. in the rookie minicamp coming up for this offseason. But tonight it is all about the Nashville Predators. Game one at 7 o'clock in PNC Arena. We'll have the full reaction tomorrow. And make sure you join us live this afternoon, 6:45, just about 15 minutes before face-off. Myself, Alex Doherty, we'll have the live pregame on Zone TV. You can watch us on Facebook Live, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. After the game, he'll chat with Lucas Panzeca immediately after the last buzzer. Don't miss it. Preds playoffs are here tomorrow morning. We'll break it all down on 104.5 The Zone.